The National Business Aviation Association turns 60. We'll spend a few minutes with President Ed Bolin. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. In Atlanta for the National Business Aviation Association's annual convention, 60th convention, here with Ed Bolin, who is the president and CEO of NBAA. Ed, thanks for taking a few minutes out of what I know is going to be a ringer of a day.
Well, I'm glad to do it. Always enjoy talking to you guys.
Well, it's always fun to kick off an event like this with big news, and Cessna did not disappoint. Before we get into anything else, any thoughts on what this announcement means regarding Cessna and Columbia?
Well, I think it is further evidence that Cessna is committed to a full range of products. Clearly a company that has been around for 80 years, been a market leader in so many different types of airplanes and models. A company that had left piston production at one point, came back in a big way, but has continued to focus on all ends of the market, recognizing that we start at one level, but we progress as we move through life, and I think it's exciting.
It's more unusual in the general aviation business, maybe, than in some other businesses, for a company of that stature to look to acquire a type certificate rather than in-house development. It just is that a little out of character for Cessna, or would you have seen this coming?
Well, Cessna has traditionally been masters at building, designing, and certifying their own products. So that is certainly the way they typically go about it. But I think we're in a time of evolution and business changes throughout not just business aviation, but industries across the board, and people are reevaluating the way they do everything. So just as Southwest Airlines may suddenly start going to hub airports instead of non-hub airports, you see changes in the way companies operate. But I think it's a very positive sign, and as I said before, a real emphasis on Cessna's commitment to the piston market.
Let's talk specifically about NBAA and kind of get a sense of where we are along the NBAA timeline. 60 years is a big round number, an opportunity for reflection. Where do you see the organization now in terms of where it started out and where you think it's heading, just in big general terms?
Well, NBAA was founded in 1947, and that was a period after World War II where a number of companies that had come to rely on general aviation to help make their business model work were very concerned that following World War II, the airspace was going to be restricted to the commercial airlines, that general aviation was potentially going to lose access to airports and access to airspace. They felt very strongly that in order for the industry to grow, it had to be both safe and perceived to be safe. So they wanted to focus on safety issues, and they also wanted to focus on professionalism, because they felt in order to gain acceptance in the business world, it would have to be perceived to be a professional endeavor. All of those things, I think, still hold true today. We still have challenges with airport access and airspace access. We've seen that played out over the last several years at Reagan National Airport. We certainly have a fight with the airlines, where you can see they would like more control of the air traffic system, presumably to run it to our detriment. Safety is something that is always top of mind for anyone in the general public, and so it's something that we continue to focus on. Professionalism, of course. I think really since 9/11, security has also become a primary issue, and it's clear from all the stuff that's going on in Europe, the environment will be a big issue going forward as well.
Now, we're coming right down to the wire on user fees. Phil Boyer predicted at AOPA that it'll be extended in its current form until they can finish sorting it out. Are you growing weary of this fight? Do you think it's going to go well? What's your call on this?
Well, this has been a fight that the airlines began over 2 years ago, when they rolled out kind of a multi-million dollar PR campaign that they said was designed to shift $1.5 to $2 billion worth of taxes onto general aviation, and to allow the airlines to seize more control of the air traffic system. And so we've been fighting a multi-million dollar blitz for 2 years now, and we are coming to a critical time. The current taxes expire on September 30th. A bill has passed the House of Representatives, but we still do not have a Senate bill that has passed that body yet. And so this week it is quite conceivable that the House of Representatives could pass a short 90-day extension of the current taxes to presumably give us time to sort through what the longer-term legislation looks like. It's certainly not over. We've made a lot of progress. The grassroots of the aviation community has really been very active, but we're not done with this fight. And so we can't afford to be weary.
There has been some really good machinery in place that's been called out to put pilots, general aviation pilots, in touch with their lawmakers by all the big organizations that promote general aviation. Is there a machine like that in place when it comes to the executive branch, or even any way to lobby what is considered to be a likely veto of if 2881 comes out of the House and is reconciled with the Senate in its current form?
Well, the president is obviously an elected official, and everybody has a First Amendment right to be able to express their opinions to the president or any other elected official. So, sure, it can be done. I think the important thing right now that we have a House bill is we focus on the Senate. There are two bills there. There's the Commerce Committee bill, which includes user fees, very controversial, even within the Commerce Committee itself. And then there's a Finance Committee bill, which just passed last week, that seemed to reject the user fee approach and instead wanted to go to a more proven system of taxes. But that's got to be ironed out before we can even begin to think what does a conference look like and what will the bill look like by the time it goes to the president. I would hope that if we can have a bill that promotes modernization, that provides sufficient revenues, that the president would be inclined to support that bill. Clearly, modernizing the air transportation system is something that the administration has talked about. The House has done a thoughtful approach. Hopefully, we'll have a Senate bill that also takes a good common sense approach. And I would hope that the president, at the end of the day, would decide to sign the bill.
It's probably more an issue of what gets attached to it in the form of amendments than it is the concept of reauthorization without user fees. Would that be a fair statement, that things like trying to force the FAA back to the bargaining table with controllers is likely to be a bigger deal killer than anything to do with FAA financing?
Well, we'll have to see what comes out of the Senate bill. At this point, there are no labor provisions that would reopen the contract in the Senate. And, of course, what happens following Senate passage is the House and Senate would go into a conference where they would iron out differences. And so you'd have to see what survived, what form it was in, and see how that matches with the president's philosophy and what his stand would be. So, again, I think there's been a veto statement that has been made, but we're a long way from sending a bill to the president's desk, and I think there's a lot of dialogue and negotiation that can take place between now and then.
Back with Ed Bolin of NBAA in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Have you been flying piston planes and are visiting NBAA dreaming about becoming a jet pilot? Dream no more. The Diamond D-Jet makes being a jet pilot a reality. Optimized for flight level 250, the D-Jet is an easy transition for pilots of high-performance piston singles and light twins. It's affordable with lower single-engine operating costs and easier insurance requirements. And it's roomy. In fact, at 4 feet 9 inches wide, it's wider than a King Air and can carry 5 people and bags in comfort, whatever your mission as a jet pilot may be. Visit Diamond Aircraft's NBAA exhibit at booth 4039 to sit in the D-Jet mock-up and to fly the D-Jet simulator. Discover how you can be on your way to go places as a jet pilot.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS us today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Ed Bolin, president of NBAA, at the organization's 60th annual convention and show here in Atlanta. Ed, let me ask you about NBAA itself. Been out to the static area. It looks fantastic. Everybody is very excited about the exploding market for business aircraft. But at least three of the manufacturers whose press conferences I've sat in on so far have said that the biggest change, sea change they're seeing, is that sales are being driven now by markets outside North America for the first time in the history of these companies. Does this, what does this mean for the role of America's National Business Aviation Association?
Well, NBAA has focused on U.S. regulations and laws for the entire course of its 60-year history. The U.S. leads the world in all aspects of general aviation. And I don't see any change in that leadership role in terms of the amount for as far as the eye can see. However, clearly more and more we have a global marketplace, mm-hmm. and U.S. companies are traveling internationally and foreign countries are coming into the United States. I think that's a positive development. 25 years ago, NBAA noticed this trend emerging, and NBAA helped found the International Business Aviation Council, an organization in Montreal that includes NBAA and our sister organizations throughout the world. So the European Business Aviation Association, the Japanese Business Aviation Association, and other groups. And that gives us an opportunity to collect ideas. And in fact, at the end of this show will end on Thursday. On Friday, we will have a meeting of the International Business Aviation Council. And we'll talk about what is happening at the International Civil Aviation Organization in Montreal and emerging trends throughout the world. And so it is an opportunity for us to work together with sister organizations. And I think that's another thing that we can help facilitate as we do NBAA annual convention type shows outside the United States. We have a very successful show that we do every year in Geneva, EBACE, the European Business Aviation Conference and Expo, and we've done it in Asia, we've done those in Latin America, and I think that they have a very positive effect in terms of broadening an understanding of business aviation and its potential in areas that previously had not really seen the full magnitude of what business aviation can mean to their economy.
Is the regulatory side of the business aviation battle or the public image side a bigger deal going forward, do you think? I mean, we've seen general aviation at all levels come under more suspicion, be subject to more pandering and sensationalism since 9/11. Is that a problem, or is it mainly a regulatory fight around the world to keep business aviation on track?
Well, business aviation is one of the great industries in the United States. It provides terrific manufacturing jobs, great service jobs. It allows companies to be more competitive. It allows communities to spur economic development. So we're an industry with a great story to tell. I think one of our challenges has been that for most of our history, however, we've been very discreet. We've pulled in. We haven't really gone out and told our story. And as a result of that, others have been able to paint pictures about what general aviation is, and they haven't always been favorable. Certainly the big airlines are trying very hard to paint a very negative picture of general aviation. And so I think what we have to do is help people learn that we need to be proud of our industry, we need to promote our industry, we need to talk about our industry so that people beyond our community understand the value we are bringing to a broader community, to an economy of the United States and really the whole world.
Well, Ed, we really appreciate again you taking a few minutes out, and we look forward to the remaining days of the show here in Atlanta.
Thanks. We'll look forward to seeing you around.
My guest has been Ed Bolin, President and CEO of the National Business Aviation Association, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.